Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah to start with. Isaiah, I'd like to look at yet another one of the names of God. Sometimes you may call it a name of God or a title. This time we find several references in Isaiah, but I want to kind of just note those and then kind of look at some of the more of the topic that we're looking at. The Lord, your Redeemer. The Lord, your Redeemer. We find that term a lot, quite a bit in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41 to start with. Of course, when we see the word Redeemer in God's Word, we see redeem, redemption, the term to be bought. And so we think about us as New Testament believers being bought with a price. We see Romans talking about our redemption and other epistles. But we see these references to start with in the Old Testament. We think in terms of Israel. And it's interesting to think about how you look at God's covenant people and you look at this nation, Israel, and we see this language of being redeemed. And yet then we moved into the New Testament and we see those several references to reference to us who are saved, that we've been redeemed, that we've been bought with a price, thinking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ having paid that price. And so chapter 41 and 14, several of these references we see the Lord thy Redeemer. Just want to note those. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. So I'm just going to flip through a few before we think about it a little bit. You'll notice in some of these overlapping, especially when you're in Isaiah, you see a lot of times names of God overlapping in the same section or the same verse. There may be like several, so that's kind of interesting to me. Over to chapter 43, Isaiah 43, and we note there in verse 1 speaks about the one who has redeemed thee, he says, the Creator in verse 1, but note in verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the kinsman, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent Babylon and have brought down all their nobles, etc. So there you see him as Creator, the Holy One of Israel, the Creator of Israel, your King. Several references or names of the Lord there in verses 14 and 15. Go to chapter 44. This section that we're in, you'll notice if you're working through, there's a lot about him as the Creator and that aspect of who he is. But we're thinking about him as Redeemer. 44 and verse 6, and thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Again, just several different names concerning the Lord. Same chapter, verse 23 and 24. 23, he speaks of the one that the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Verse 24 says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, and such. Across in 47 in verse 4, we find a parenthesis, as for our Redeemer. Some of these references, it would be thy Redeemer, but our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Again, several names together. The Lord of hosts, we studied that another time. That's the God of the multitudes. And of course, the Holy One of Israel, we think of him and one of his great attributes is holiness. 48, work through these here. Verse 17. 48:17, thus saith the Lord, this Jehovah, thy Redeemer, the kinsman, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Same chapter, verse 20, we find again, speaking of him having redeemed his servant Jacob. We'll go down to 49, and in verse 7, it mentions, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." Again, one thing after another, these different names and titles of the Lord. And so here, we're thinking of that kinsman, that word for redeemer. Perhaps as we keep saying kinsman, our minds go to the book of Ruth and that story that illustrates the Lord Jesus as the kinsman redeemer seen through Boaz. Oh, let's go to verse 26, same chapter, end of the text there. It closes by saying, "I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." We'll go to chapter 54. So as we read in 49, you saw things that remind us of the Messiah. We're in the section, by the way, here of the servant songs of Jehovah from chapters 42 to 53. These songs, servant songs, these kind of poetic sections about the Lord, messianic about him, pointing to the servant of the Lord 700 years before he was incarnate. But in chapter 54, we're skipping past the servant song section now, 54 and 5. "For thy maker is thy husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." So again, one name after another. We've looked at some of these. Him as maker is a good study. The Lord of hosts, the Holy One again. Same chapter, verse 8, we find, again, "saith the Lord thy Redeemer." Now let's go to one that's a little different, 59, instead of "thy Redeemer," speaks of the Redeemer. 59 and verse 20. "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." And so we think of Jehovah's salvation earlier in verse 16 on down, speaks of salvation in God's righteousness and such. So you get in these latter chapters of Isaiah, and your mind can go to often the millennial reign and these things. But again, this is Old Testament speaking of Israel. And it's interesting to see in that context this term Redeemer. Just a couple more in Isaiah 60, verse 16. Verse 15, "Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, and I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of the kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Makes it so clear of how he's emphasizing his name in different ways, different titles. And you know, again, when you look at the names of God, his attributes are all tied in with this. And so each one kind of gives you a different aspect of who he is in the names and the attributes of God. Final one in Isaiah that I have is 63. And 16. "Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. O thou, O Lord, art our father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting." So aspects of who he is again, his name, his attributes. So with this, just kind of working through that, if you want to take notes where they're at to look at sometime. You know, you look at the word Redeemer and you go back and find it in King James first in Exodus 6, back in the days of Moses. And there, shortly after you see him being called at the burning bush in Exodus 3, we see how the Lord is is using him, calling him in anticipation of bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them out and back there is to the land. So it's interesting to see it mentioned early on in God's word there in the days of Moses. And as he's, of course, hesitant at first when God calls him, nonetheless, he and Aaron will be used of God. Chapter 6 of Exodus, this is where I'm reading. And we see a series of I wills, the promise that God is making that he's going to bring them out. So I'm going to pick up in Exodus 6 and 2. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. That's the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. But by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, and so on. Notice in verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel. Here's again that reminder. This is what I'm going to do. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And he goes on giving these words of promise and reminder. This is what I'm going to do. I will redeem you. I just find it interesting to think in terms of here's the one that God's going to go through this generation through the days of Moses. The Passover will be at hand in just a few chapters. And there you think of the blood of the Lamb. And you think, we think of the blood, it brings our minds to redemption. And of course, then they'd cross the Red Sea. They've left Egypt. They've left that picture of the world and Satan under Pharaoh's reign. And so, I will redeem you. Of course, there's going to be 40 years of wandering, but eventually through Joshua, they're in the land. And so we mentioned Ruth. Great story there. The kinsman redeemer is Boaz, a picture of the Lord Jesus. Both Ruth and Naomi found blessing, one being a Jew, one being a Gentile. But the Lord used this man Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, stepping in is by the instruction given in Israel's day that when a woman was a widow, a near kinsman, such as the husband's brother, may step in and preserve that name and also have practical provision. And so through this, we see the blessings upon both Naomi and Ruth. But the greater picture is what it means for us in the salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus stepping in, being the substitute, paying for our sins, being our Redeemer. Whether Jew or Gentile, if you come to know Christ as your Savior, then you're blessed through Him. Well, in one more Old Testament reference, I'm going to say one of the Psalms in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, a great chapter that speaks about the creation, the heavens declaring the glory of God, and then the latter part of that chapter emphasizes aspects of the Word of God. But in that chapter of Psalm 19, we find Redeemer at the end. We find it in verse 14, a great memory verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So here the psalmist David, speaking by the Spirit of God of the great creation of God, the great Word of God, and he concludes by speaking of his Redeemer, the one that he would be able to meditate upon things concerning God's Word and his Redeemer. You know, that's true for us, that we can meditate on him. We can think about him. We think of these different names of God. We think about these different attributes of God. And, you know, spending time alone with the Lord day by day, and yet when we come together on the Lord's Day morning, some of these thoughts can come back to our minds, and we're thinking about him as the Holy One, as the Redeemer, as the Mighty One. All these things, there's a reminder of who he is when we think of that one that was on the cross. That's one of the great things about thinking about his attributes or his name, because it brings us to worship. So let's just peek at some familiar verses in the New Testament before we conclude. Let's go to Romans when we talk about the theme, the topic of redemption, as believers, we know we've been bought with a price. The great gospel treaty of Romans in chapter 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Wow, in those few verses, so many aspects of the gospel. And so within that, we see his blood, we see redemption, that it's because it's through the redemptive work of Christ that we are declared right with God, declared right with him, justified by faith. A few other key passages. We go to Ephesians. We find a few references of redemption there as well. Ephesians 1. The first half of chapter 1 is giving us different aspects of what the Lord has done toward us. And we find a key phrase, to the praise of his glory, exalting the Lord through what he has done. And we'll notice in 1 and 7 speaks of that work of redemption through his blood. Verse 7, in whom? Is through this section here, he keeps referring to Christ as in him, in whom? In Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so there we see overlapping with forgiveness. We've been redeemed through his blood. There's been a price that's been paid through the one who knew no sin was made sin for us. We see through him and him alone we can be redeemed and bought and have the knowledge of sins forgiven. Same chapter, verse 14, the role of the Spirit living and abiding in the true believer. We've been sealed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. The Spirit of God comes in us and lives in us as believers once we've been born again. And we see here this aspect of redemption as we look future. We're sealed. We're secure in him. One day we'll have new glorified bodies. We've been redeemed. And there's that sense of this down payment to see the Spirit of God as it lives and abides in us. So we see aspects of the redemptive work of Christ. Finally, in Hebrews, just a couple more examples there. Hebrews 9, we see the book that speaks of Christ is better. All the many references Hebrews has of the Old Testament, it comes to a conclusion time and again. This is what was in the Old Testament economy, but Christ is better. And in chapter 9, we notice there in verse 11 and 12, comparing to the Old Testament, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, through the Lord Jesus, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. It's not a temporary thing. He paid the price. We that receive him as our Savior, we've been justified by faith. We've been declared right with God. This is an eternal redemption. What a blessing. And then in the same section here, we see in verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Here we see eternal again, but it's with inheritance. Our inheritance is eternal. Why? Because he ties it in here with this death. This one that through Christ's blood we have this new testament or this new covenant. And so we find he has fulfilled, he has completed the law. He came as the only one who has lived a perfect life, fulfilled the law, and he being the perfect sacrifice, shed his blood, and now we have eternal inheritance because of that. Redemption, a great work. We started off just thinking about one of the names or titles of God, the Lord your Redeemer, or thy Redeemer, is what the Lord said to Israel. And of course, the topic of redemption goes on through the Bible. We're so familiar with it as New Testament believers. We've been bought by his blood. Mm-hmm.